We'll be in the book of Numbers, chapter 21 tonight, please. The book of Numbers. I'm honored to be here. Appreciate the good preaching that we've already heard. Appreciate Brother Angle's message and Brother Durham. I don't know how old Brother Durham is, but Statue of Liberty is just a little girl, and he started preaching. That's been a long time ago. But appreciate the opportunity to be here. First time I've been to the camp meeting. This meeting always had a conflict with the meeting there where we were in Taylor's, but I'm glad all that's been changed and rearranged, and I'm honored to be here tonight. In Numbers chapter 21, coming up the road today, the Lord kind of nudged my heart if I should be asked to preach, that I felt like He would have me to go to Numbers chapter 21. Let's read 9 verses. Familiar scripture has to do with the fiery serpent that Moses erected on the pole. But I look at it a little bit different tonight. Verse number 1, the Bible said, "And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. And they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of that place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. I'm glad we got some people and people that have prayed for us. Amen. Verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. We'll stop there for the sake of time. Would you pray for me? Father, we love you. I want to thank you one more time for Calvary. Lord, I want to thank you for the hand of God that reached further down, Lord, than we could have ever reached up. I want to thank you for rescuing my family, Lord, letting us serve you down through these years. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity tonight to be under the old tabernacle and hear the Word of God preached and expounded, and what our hearts have already felt tonight. We thank you for it. Lord, I'm keenly aware that I need the breath of God upon me tonight. And so I pray for the touch, the anointing from heaven, and liberty to preach the Word of God tonight. And I pray the Word would fall upon some good, fertile ground, Father. And Lord, the lost would be saved, the saints of God would be stirred, the men of God would be encouraged tonight, and you'd be honored and glorified in what you do for us. We'll love you for it, and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, coming up the road today, the Lord nudged my heart about this scripture. And I want to take my thought out of verse number 4 tonight. The Bible said they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. I want to take that latter thought tonight in verse number 4. The people was much discouraged because of the way. We're living in days, if we aren't careful, we'll become so discouraged that we're probably of no worth to the cause of Christ. And I'll say more about that. The Lord will help me in just a moment. But as I came up the road, I thought about this tonight. 3 things in this chapter. I thought about the cause of the discouragement. I thought about the curse as a result of the discouragement, the serpent on the pole. And then I thought about the cure for the discouragement. So if you'll give me about 30 minutes tonight, we'll try to get into this text. The cause of their discouragement. And then secondly, the curse
that resulted as a result of their discouragement, and then the cure for that discouragement. I think the cause for their discouragement was the conflict. The Bible said they were fighting in verse number 1. And so I think the cause, maybe that they got weary in the battle. And I'm telling you, that's easy to do. And I'll say something about that as soon as I can get my little outline to get beyond it. But the cause, I think, for the discouragement was their conflict. I think the curse was a result of the calamity that came out of what happened as a result of their discouragement. And then the cure for that discouragement, of course, was the cross. And that serpent on the pole pictures the Lord Jesus Christ becoming a curse that we might be delivered from the wrath of God to come. Amen. And so with those two little thoughts in mind, let me try to bring you a message on the dangers of discouragement. We are living in days today, and I think we all ought to be aware of it, that God has told us what it was going to be in the end time. And Brother John said these are the last days, and we should not be surprised that we're living or have lived in Noah days, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the Bible said the flood came. They even knew it not until the flood came and took them all away. And so I think if you'll study the Gospel of Luke, you'll find out that we have come through the Noah days, and we're living in Lot days. God put them in that order. Thank God for a Bible. Amen. A King James Bible that's minutely correct. God put everything in order. I believe we are in Noah days. Don't get me wrong. But I think the Lot days have so surrounded us that if we aren't careful, we'll let these Lot days discourage us and maybe hang our head to the fact that we'll be of no benefit to the church of the living God. And so these are not days to hang your head. These are days to lift up your head, because your redemption is drawing nigh. Amen. Thank God for the Noah days. Thank God for the Lot days. Somebody is going to come out victorious in these last and perilous days. So I think tonight these are discouraging days if your outlook is around solely on this level rather than your uplook. I think that's why when God told Noah to build the ark, He said, don't put a windshield in it. I don't want them looking too low. He said, don't put a porthole in it. I don't want them looking around. Don't put a rear view mirror in it. I don't want them looking behind them. But He said, put that little window in the top of it where they can look up, praise God, and see My smiling face in that terrible stormy days in which they are going to live. We have been chosen to come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I'm glad tonight, thank God, that God allowed me to stand and preach in these days of compromise and falling away. I don't think the battle's about to subside. I think it's going to pick up. Amen. But God said to the little young Timothy, He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So if you're discouraged tonight, I pray something will be said or done that'll help you realize God said it was going to be like this in the last and perilous days. Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I think when you get discouraged, your heart begins to harden and your love for the Lord begins to wax cold. That's why He said in the book of the Revelation, you have left your first love. And may God help us tonight to get the fires of God kindled in our heart and love Jesus the way we used to. Amen. And then the Bible said in Luke chapter number 21 that there would be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nation with perplexity that was seized, and the waves roaring, and men's hearts fell in them for fear and for looking after those things that are coming upon the earth. You get your sight set too low and you're going to become a discouraged saint of God. But if you keep your sight set high, praise God, we can leave this old world with a shout and with a victory in our soul. Amen. Yeah, I could say say a lot tonight, but tonight let me get to my text and we'll be through in just a few minutes. They become discouraged, the Bible said. In verse number 4, the people's soul was much discouraged because of the way. Have you ever been discouraged, preacher? Well, I've been saved for 43 years, preaching about 40 years. There's been once or twice, probably, that I did get discouraged. I pastored a Baptist church for 36 years, and there have been a time or two that I did get discouraged, but I never believed that I ever got to the state of this discouragement, Brother Bob. I don't think I ever got to that point of much discouragement until these dangers that God showed me in this text, where they set in upon that congregation. I don't think I ever got to that point. Now, it is possible, and it's probable that it could happen, maybe somebody here, but I don't think we have to. And so I saw in this text the danger of discouragement. Be careful about getting discouraged. Somebody told me, an old silver-haired saint of God, probably 40 years ago, she told me, he said, "Preacher, Brother Raines, the devil's got a tool shed full of implements that he'll use against you, son. But," he said, "the handle of discouragement will fit every one of them that he's got." And so whatever the devil might drag out of the tool shed and try to beat you to death with it, he'll take that handle of discouragement and, neighbor, put it upon whatever he might use against you. And that's exactly what happened in our text here tonight. The people got discouraged for one reason or another. Here's what I think the cause was. In verse number 1, where the Bible said King Ar of the Canaanite dwelt in the south, and there's still some devils in the south, amen, and heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, and he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoner. If you aren't careful, you'll let this good fight of faith wear you down until, neighbor, you'll not be any good for the cause of Christ. I think that's why Paul wrote that pastoral epistle to that young man by the name of Timothy and said, "Endure hardness as a good soldier. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And so be careful about the fight. It's not time to get out of the fight. It's time, praise God, to dig in and, neighbor, get the job done for the Lord. And so let's not be weary and well do it, doing in due season. We'll reap if we faint not. And so I could preach out of verse number 1 on the war. And the Bible said in verse number 5, verse number 4, the latter part of it, he said they were discouraged because of the way. Not only the war, but the way. And I'm telling you, I think that God tonight that we can serve Him and live for Him. But if you aren't careful, you'll get discouraged and you'll get weary in the very path that God has ordained for you to walk in. I don't have time to take you to the book of Exodus, but God gave me a message, and I believe I can show you in their wandering through the wilderness in this area compassing the Red Sea. I believe I can show you everywhere that God took that band of Israelites, God did a specific work in their life. God was doing something. I know they wandered until they were wasted, but God was preparing a generation of young people from 20 years old and under, and the things that they learned and gleaned from that journeying through the wilderness, neighbor, it was preparing them to conquer Canaan and watch God deliver that land from 7 heathen nations, and they might conquer that land for the glory of God. So in your journeyings tonight, you had better be careful and be very mindful tonight that there's an omniscient God, and He knows what's best for you, and He knows the end from the beginning, and He's always got perfect timing, and He can have you exactly where He wants you, doing what He wants you to do and how He wants you to do it. Do not get discouraged in the way. It's not always a bed of roses. It's not always sunshine and the smell of roses, fragrance flowing over you. Sometimes it's a battle and the stench of the battle raging around you. But it's not time to get discouraged when you're in that state like these Israelites did. Are you listening? I think the war and the way probably got them discouraged. As a result of that, they made some terrible mistakes and the curse of God had to fall. And many of them, the Bible said, were destroyed. And so you got to be be careful of becoming discouraged. And God put an old rugged cross and a fiery serpent and rescued them from their discouragement. Let me preach for a little while tonight on the dangers of discouragement. It is very possible for the men of God to become discouraged. I could tell you several reasons why I'm trying to already lay a little foundation, but these are days I have never seen as much discouragement as there's going around today. About everywhere I go, folks are defeated and they're distraught and beaten down by the affairs and cares of this life or whatever is going on in the church and in your ministry and maybe in your family, maybe your finances, maybe Wall Street's collapse has drained your victory and robbed you tonight and got you to where you're discouraged. You just remember God still owns the cattle on a thousand hill, and God's the one that planted the hill, and He's got the taters in the hill. And I have been young, and I now am old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed of begging bread. Amen. And so God's going to take care of us, and God's going to take care of His church. So be careful about this becoming discouraged because of the day or the way or the warfare that we're all involved in tonight. There are some terrible dangers of becoming discouraged. In verse number 5 tonight, the Bible said, "And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" First of all tonight, if you aren't careful, when you become discouraged, you'll become disagreeable. I think one of the terrible dangers of becoming discouraged, it manifests itself in beginning a disagreeable spirit about you. Here's a man by the name of Moses, and if you'll study the epistle of Paul's epistle and Peter's epistle and Brother Timothy's message, he said God sent them a deliverer, and God sent Moses down into Egypt and was going to deliver them out of that yoke of bondage that Pharaoh had upon them. And Moses supposed that they would understand, but they did not understand it. And the most misunderstood man in town is probably your preacher, and they misunderstood the man of God by the name of Moses. God was leading Moses and taking this band of Israelites through a journey, and the people got discouraged because of the way, and they became disagreeable. The danger of discouragement is becoming disagreeable. First of all, they got discouraged because of the way. I put it this way. They got disagreeable because of the direction God was taking them in. They got disagreeable because of the way God was taking them in. Moses is following direct orders from heaven. I don't think anybody in here that's read the Bible and got one eye and half sense would argue with me tonight that God was not directing their path. I don't have time to deal with all those cities. I got a message in there how God dealt with them in different places, but they got disagreeable in the direction that God was taking them. When they started out, come up to the Red Sea, I can see this young family, and they camped there one night, and this young man looked out and he said, "Honey, that is the most beautiful sea I have ever seen in my life." She said, "Darling, when that sun started setting in that sea," she said, "that's the most beautiful scene I've ever seen." He said, "Yeah, did you see that sunrise over Mount Hor this morning? When that sun came up," she said, "I thought surely the Lord was coming, and my heart was flooded when I saw the sunrise." They laid there that night. He said, "Listen to those waves. Isn't that beautiful?" But they got discouraged. And that same young family, she's laying there. "Are you asleep, honey?" "Sleep? How can I sleep? Them stinking waves beating out there." "Sleep? How can I sleep? This dampness that got my arthritis is killing me. I can't stand it. Wish he'd get us away from this. The humidity is 99%. She said, "Yeah, if I breathe one more time, my voice is going to be gone cold, so sinus too." Same family, same church, same songbook, same pastor, Are you listening to me? But where the commencement was excited, the achievement, neighbor, they've lost something out of it. And the things we used to be blessed with, now we don't enjoy them anymore. I'm telling you, God has not changed. And God is still on the throne. And the reason we're not enjoying what we used to enjoy is because we have let discouragement get a hold of us. And we have gotten in the billy goat kicking objective mood tonight. And we're like a billy goat at one end and a donkey at the other. We butt and we kick and we disagree with everything going on. And it's nobody's fault but ours becoming discouraged. They got much discouraged. Are you listening to me? And I pastored a long time. I guess God had me in school. But are you listening? And some of the folks that love you, the same folks, neighbor, if you aren't careful, when they get discouraged, the very thing that blessed them no longer blesses them. And they get that disagreeable spirit about them. You know I'm telling you the truth. A disagreeable is one of the dangers of discouragement. Not only disagreeing with the direction, but I think they begin to disagree with the diet they had. Look at verse number 5. Fasten your seatbelt. He said, they said, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? There is no bread. I underline no bread. This Bible's minutely correct. And they said, there's no bread, neither is there any water. And then they said, our soul loatheth. That means to be disliked, hate, to the point of being nauseated. They said, our soul loatheth this light bread. I'll tell you why their soul began to loathe the light bread. It's because their soul is much discouraged. Are you listening to me? And the same Bible that used to bless us and the same man of God that we thought must surely be the most likely to succeed and take us on over into Canaan, when we did get discouraged, neighbor, and get bitten by that serpent of discouragement, that same man of God becomes our enemy and we no longer appreciate what he's feeding us. They said, we don't have any bread. There's no bread. And then he said, we don't like this light bread. You look at that. It's not L-I-T-E. It's L-I-G-H-T. That's where the problem was. They didn't like the light. Amen. I'm telling you, they said, we don't want any more bread like that. We've come as far as we're going to go, and we're not going any farther. Just leave the light out. Don't turn the light on any other. We don't want any more L-I-G-H-T. And God said, walk in the light as He's in the light, and we'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But they did not like the L-I-G-H-T. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Now, I don't know how much evil I'm going to get to with what they were carrying on, but they were murmuring in their tents. Said, did you get anything out of that sermon? Did you ever hear such a sermon as that? I'll bet you he didn't study 15 minutes before he preached. It's probably out at the car race last night. He didn't study and pray before he mounted that pulpit this morning. Same people used to shout him down when he preached. It's the discouragement. It's the culprit. Are you listening to me? I can get discouraged. You can get discouraged. The church can get discouraged. And when you get discouraged, you get disagreeable. Some of you look like you're discouraged. Disagreeable with the direction they were going. The Bible said they were compassing the sea of the Red Sea area. It don't seem like a church is going anywhere. Looks like to me we're just spinning our wheels and going in a circle. Looks like everybody's leaving instead of joining. We're not accomplishing a thing. Didn't like the direction. Didn't like the diet. The water. The bread. Same water, same bread. God's been feeding them with angel food, corn from heaven. I'd like to have one of those roasting ears, wouldn't you? My wife got some new corn roast ears the other day, and we threw them on the grill and let it bake in the shuck. I've never done that before. But I'm telling you, I believe it's grown on the hills of Canaan somewhere, that corn that's so good. It's the same cornbread, the same angel food they had been eating, but when they got disagreeable, it didn't taste good anymore. You get in the objective case and the kickative mood on a dark night in the middle of crab apple season, and the preacher can't help you. The direction don't satisfy you. The diet will never satisfy you because we got a disagreeable spirit, and it all resulted from becoming discouraged. They were discouraged and become disagreeable. Fasten your seatbelt just a moment. In verse number 5 again, when they got discouraged in verse 4, and the people spake against God and against Moses. And I'm going to try to be as nice as I can, but I want to help us. Amen. When you get discouraged and don't like the diet and don't like the direction, if you aren't careful, it'll all begin to manifest itself in that murmuring in the tent, and you'll even begin to speak out against God the Lord. Are you listening to me? They began to speak out against God, the Bible said, in verse number 1. I'll guarantee you this tonight, God is still on the throne, and God knows where the church is, and God knows what government we were going to have in these days like we're living. Somebody said, is Mr. Obama the Antichrist? No, he's not the Antichrist, and I don't have time to enlarge on that, but I'm telling you the shadows are lengthening, and the tribulation period neighbors are approaching unto us tonight, and surely anybody with one eye and half seen can tell you that we're nearing the shore, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not time to get to complaining and bellyaching the way God has leading us. God has got us in the pulpit. I've been saved a long time, preacher, and somebody told me a few days ago, they said, Brother Raines, I wish we could hit rewind and get back yonder. We had true, genuine, old-fashioned, heaven-sent Jordan River, sky blue, blood red revival, broke out Pleasant View Baptist Church in 1977, and we rode that wave, neighbor, for about 25 years. It is not like that today, but I don't want to rewind. I believe God is the same God today, and God can still send revival. We just got to get out of this discouraged mode that we've gotten into. I don't know if we're going to have revival. I intend to have one myself. Amen. I claim the promise. I was preaching for Brother Gary Hall about maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and God nudged my heart out of the 71st Psalm and verse number 18. When I'm old and gray-headed, Father, forsake me not until I've shown this generation to come by power and by strength. And the Holy Ghost nudged me, Brother Bob, and he said, son, your days are pastoring are just about over, and I'm going to put you in the road. I didn't volunteer for it. God put me where I'm at tonight. But I got a thirst in my heart and a burden in my soul to see revival fires come again. Here am I, Lord, started in me. Let's get out of this discouraged mode and thank God that He allowed us to live in these perilous days. It's not time to hang our head and throw our Bible on the shelf somewhere and get out of our prayer closet. I believe, neighbor, when the rubber hits a road and the water hits a wheel, I believe those that love God, they'll just get down in the trenches and hunker up, Harry Dog, and get the job done for God in these last days. It's not days to be a quitter. It's days to get full of the Holy Ghost and see revival come to our churches. I got a family looking to me, got grandchildren looking to me, got folks I pastored all those years looking to me, and God forbid that I let that double-fanged devil of discouragement sink his fangs in my heart and get me disagreeable with everything's going on. They not only become disagreeable, but the Bible said they begin to speak out in verse number 5, and I think that's a danger of becoming disappointed with even the way God's leading you. God is still God. No use getting disappointed at God because He's not doing what we want Him to do. I think we have been misled or misfed or whatever tonight, And Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think we're praying tonight, my will be done on in heaven as it is in earth. We're not praying for God's will to be done. We're praying for our will to be done. The Lord knew where He was taking these Israelites. He knew what He was working in their life. He knew that older generation. I don't have time to reread the rest of the chapter or take you up in the further on where they got over into Canaan. But there was a generation that would not go, and they refused to go, and they did not wholly follow the Lord the way Caleb and Joshua did. And so God's working and preparing a generation of young people and getting them ready to go into Canaan, get the job done for God. And every one of those experiences they had, without exception, is preparing a generation of young people to see that there's a God that can kill every giant and take care of them and deliver them from the slime pits that were in Canaan. God has proven that to a generation, and this older crowd bowed up in the back and got disagreeable and even disappointed with what God was doing. We get upset sometimes with the way God's working in our family, and all the time God meant it for good, and God is working to rescue your family from destruction. I could give you some personal experience. I don't have time tonight. But they got disappointed with even the God's direction in their life. Secondly, they got disappointed with the leadership God put over them. They spake against Moses. You get disappointed, you begin to murmur against God, and you begin to murmur against Moses. I thought about Abraham, and God said, I'm going to give you a son out of your own loins. He's 99. Sarah's past the age of, as it is with women. And you know the story, how all that came to pass, and that's a mess that's going on that the preacher mentioned a while ago. That came out of his disappointment and his disagreeing with God's perfect timing in his life, and got that mess going over there in the Far East. When it got beyond human control, and where God could get all the glory out of it, then God intervened miraculously, and that 100-year-old man fathered a child. Are you listening to me? God had perfect time, and God's got perfect timing today, and Brother Job said He's a perfect knowledge. So do not get disappointed the way God's leading you. And don't get disappointed with the leadership God's put over you. God gave the church pastors. Pastor is an overseer. He is the under-shepherd, but he's the overseer. And I love pastors, and I thank God for every one of you here. But I'm telling you, there's a young generation that's coming along that do not respect that office and that position, and neither the man that God puts there. And I can tell, and I'm not here to make you mad, but some of you young whippersnappers that don't respect your man of God and that office where God put him, you may as well get you an honest job and go to work somewhere. Somebody may kick a few doors open for you, and somebody may have your friendship cause your mama begs them and get you somewhere to preach, but I'm telling you, God's hand will not be on your life. You quit dishonoring God's men and God's leadership, God will use you. I've had several heroes in my life fall. Some of them have been taken prisoner in verse number 1. They fell in the battle. One of our greatest heroes, and I'm not here to tell you who it was, or you can just figure out between the lines what you want to. There's been several. But I tell you, one of my son's greatest heroes, I hope I'm the first one. Brother Goosby's dad is the second one. I don't know where Steve is on the list, way down there somewhere. But one of the heroes in my son's life fell. And I knew it 9 years before it hit the papers. And everybody knew it. And I kept my wife and I kept it from our son and our family for at least 9 or 10 years. My son said 9. I thought it was about 10. I wasn't trying to destroy him. I didn't want to hurt his faith in God's men. And a lot of God's men bit the dust, and they fell, and they're in ashes tonight. But I'm telling you, we don't need to be out here glutting over and thumbing our suspender and don't think it could ever happen to us. Let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. Be careful about getting disappointed and disagreeable with the leadership God put in your life. God gave us pastors. Can I get you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5 with me? And I'm not going to tarry long. I'm going to quit here in just a little bit. You can have some fellowship or whatever we need to do. But let me give you something that I think is killing the independent Baptist church movement tonight. I believe it's about to choke us to death. It's probably come out of discouragement, and it's probably come out of disappointment, and maybe rightfully so. But would you look at a verse of Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 1, 1 Timothy 5:1, Paul wrote, and this is a pastoral epistle, it's not a church epistle, are you listening to me? He wrote to this young pastor, I think Pastor Timothy is pastoring at the church of Ephesus. Some good commentators don't believe that, but that's fine. Chapter number 5, verse 1, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and younger men as brethren. Notice now, your responsibility to that man that God put in your life. You do not rebuke your elder. You do not rebuke your pastor. God has still got a woodshed, and God will take every one of His men to the woodshed when they need to go. They do not need to be straightened out by the brethren, and they do not need to be straightened out by some kind of a board in the church. Or you listen to me, neighbor, we don't have boards in independent Baptist churches. I am an old-fashioned independent Baptist, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, and I'm ashamed of what's going on in a lot of circles today. But a church is not operated by a board. It has got an overseer, the man of God, that is to lead that flock and feed that flock. A flock, neighbor, when you see elder and you see pastor, that is his duty and that is his dignity. And we've got a young folks today that thank God for the duty, but I think we have lost the dignity that goes to that office of being a pastor. You respect your pastor as a father. My son was supposed to be here tonight. I don't see him here tonight. But I'm telling you, I knocked him down one time. He said, we'll get you here for child abuse. You might get knocked down before you do that too. He smarted off to me, and before I thought, I backhanded him and knocked him down the floor. Only had to do it once. Now, I'm not mean. I don't abuse my children. I did give my daughter a good whipping when she was a senior in high school, I think. She left the school grounds without her daddy's position, and I blistered her blessed assurance. Amen. That's good, preacher. I know yours don't need it, but yours is the only one that's ever been born that didn't need it. We got a group today that does not respect the dignity of the office of the man of God. Here's what I'm trying to say. Keep your mouth off of God's man. You don't rebuke him. Preacher, anybody ever rebuked you? They sure have. Ain't never one of them ever rebuked me. Didn't end up in trouble down the road somewhere. 1 Timothy 5:19, I'm not going to preach it, but you ought to read it and you ought to memorize it. Don't rebuke him and don't receive an accusation against him, but before two or three witnesses. A wise old judge said, and I was on the police force about 6 or 7 years, a wise old judge said, no one has ever come to a correct and right decision that only heard half of the evidence. It's impossible. You cannot arrive at the right conclusion, guilty or not guilty, when you only know half of the evidence. But we're living in a day-to-day, buddy, with this email and texting and all of this junk going on today. Somebody said telephone, telegraph, and tell a woman it'll be around the world in 30 minutes. Amen. I was on the police force in 1963, I guess it was. Some of these young people can help me. When John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Is that 63? Thank you. I was riding down Nebraska Avenue in Tampa, Florida, on the back of a Harley-Davidson motorcycle, and it came over the police radio and said President John F. Kennedy has been assassinated from the book depository or whatever depository there in Texas. And they said in 24 hours that news went around the world. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago, and they tell us half the world still hadn't heard about it. If we would get as excited about the good news and the good thing and spread the gospel the way we spread gossip, we're liable to win somebody to Jesus. But you get that old belly aching, discouraged spirit about you, and I'm telling you, that just sounds so enticing and so sweet, and neighbors whispered in secret, and it goes around the world. Are you listening to me? It came out of discouragement. They began to murmur against the leadership. For God's sake, if you could change places with your pastor for about 15 minutes, or one Monday after the Sunday, you change places with him for about 30 minutes, you'd probably understand him a lot better. Nobody has any comprehension of what the man of God goes through. Moses, supposed they would have understood him. He came to deliver them. He's trying to rescue their family, keep their children out of hell. And they're murmuring, complaining, disagreeable, and disappointed with what he's doing in their life. Let me hurry tonight, but going back to wherever I was at, Numbers chapter number 21, not only the danger of becoming disagreeable, the danger of becoming disappointed, but there is a danger of becoming a distraction. You get disappointed and you get disagreeable and you become a distraction to the other members of the church and of your family. You moms and dads, be careful tonight. You get discouraged and you get disagreeable in that objective case and the kickety mood, and those children are watching you. I learned this a long time ago. I suppose I learned it from my man of God when I was still wet behind the ears. We never discussed our church problems or the man of God and the situations going on in the church at our dinner table before our children. My wife and I have gotten on the face before God and prayed and begged God to help and intervene. But I'm telling you, we tried to shelter our children from that. You keep dumping all that garbage and children feeding on it, it's no wonder they don't have any confidence in the men of God. Are you listening to me? Look in Numbers chapter number 32 very quickly. If you aren't careful, your discouragement will cause you to become a distraction. And I've got two things and I'll be through very quickly. Watch that becoming a distraction. Numbers 32:6. Moses said to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, I could deal with both of those tribes, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land where the Lord had given them. Verse 10, the Lord's anger was kindled the same time. He swore, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed the Lord. Look down at verse number 13. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done this evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. Look at verse 14. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord towards Israel. For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again lead them in the wilderness, and you shall destroy all this people. Here's what he said in a nutshell to Gad and the Reuben. He said, if you make the same mistakes that our forefathers made and cause this generation to wander around for 40 years, if we make the same mistake, God is subject to let this new generation wander around for 40 more years. I've never heard that, and I've never seen it before till God dealt with me about this message. I am afraid if we don't get out of this discouraged mode that we have gotten into, we are going to watch a generation of our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren wander around for another 40 years without any purpose or pursuit in this life of ever doing anything for God. We are fastly losing this generation. You know we are. They're bailing out of Independent Baptist Church, a neighbor, as fast as they can get out. And they got their suitcase packed and under the bed. And they got that longing and look for a far country in their eye. We had better get out of this discouraged mode and get the joy, the zeal of the Lord back in our heart. And quit our belly aching and murmuring and complaining. And get excited about a world going to hell and reach somebody for Jesus. There's a danger of becoming a distraction to others. I'm not preaching it, I'm through. Verse number 6, back in chapter 21, there's a danger of destruction. God sent fiery serpents and bit them and have destroyed a lot of them. You can get to the point of your discouragement to where your disagreement and your disappointment and your distracting of others till God just moves you out of the way. There's not a man of God in here tonight that's been down the road with Jesus anywhere very long that folks have gotten in the way of the church and the ministry and God has buried them. There's a danger of destruction. Let me close with this. There's a deliverance from that discouragement. And here's what he did. He said, Moses, make a fiery serpent, put it upon a pole, and lift it up before the people. If this doesn't cure your discouragement, there's probably no hope for you. But you take a long look at Calvary tonight. And if that don't deliver you from your, how in the world can you quit? How can you let discouragement...